Good morning, church. My name's Sammy, and I'm going to read the Bible for us today. If you don't have a Bible, please put up your hand, and Steve's coming around to hand out some Bibles. And our first reading is from Ezekiel 37, starting at verse 21. And that's on page 707 in the church Bibles. So Ezekiel chapter 37, starting at verse 21. And Ezekiel is saying, "This is what the sovereign Lord says. I will take the Israelites out of the nations where they have gone. I will gather them from all around and bring them back into their own land. I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel. There will be one king over all of them, and there will never again be two nations or be divided into two kingdoms. They will no longer defile themselves with their idols and vile images or with any of their offences, for I will save them from all their sinful backsliding, and I will cleanse them. They will be my people, and I will be their God. My servant David will be king over them, and they will all have one shepherd. They will follow my laws and be careful to keep my decrees. They will live in the land I gave to my servant Jacob, the land where your ancestors lived. They and their children's children will live there forever, and David, my servant, will be their prince forever. I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant. I will establish them and increase their numbers, and I will put my sanctuary among them forever. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Then the nations will know that I, the Lord, make Israel holy when my sanctuary is among them forever." And the second reading is from John in the New Testament, chapter 14, verses 1 to 11. That's on page 875 in the church Bible. John chapter 14. Jesus is saying, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me, doing his work. Believe in me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves."
Good morning again. Great to be here this morning. Good if you could have that Bible passage open, at least the John 14 passage, and we'll talking about it on the way through this morning. One of my fondest childhood memories is going to a stay at my grandparents' house on their farm up in northern New South Wales over the Christmas New Year holidays. My grandparents had a large house by the river, and there was always lots of family members there playing endless games of cards, the smell of a roast dinner in the oven, the sound of the cricket on the telly. It was my favourite place to be, a place where I was known, a place where I was loved, where I was safe, where I was accepted. My grandparents, though, a little bit strict, wouldn't tolerate any fighting or arguing in the house. My grandmother used to say to us, don't act the goat or you'll go outside, which means don't misbehave. If you ever had goats, you know they're misbehaving. You go outside. Even though it was a large farmhouse with many rooms, it was a very clean house. And that was because there was another rule. When you came in from the paddock, from helping with the sheep, you had to enter through the laundry. You weren't allowed to come through the front door. You had to enter through the laundry, take your dirty boots off, wash your hands so you were clean as you came into the house. So don't misbehave, come through the laundry door. My favourite place to be. This morning is an invitation to come into God's house, into heaven. How do you accept this invitation? Will you accept this invitation? The passage we read this morning from the Bible, from John's Gospel, Jesus tells his followers that he's going to prepare a place for them. And he'll come back to take them to that place. Now his followers, it seems, were upset and troubled at the thought of Jesus leaving them. I mean, they'd spent a lot of time with him the last 3 years. They'd been like family. His followers are troubled and upset. Very soon, Jesus is actually going to be taken forcibly from them and be hung on a Roman cross to die. The disciples don't know that yet, but Jesus knows this. And so he comforts them, his disciples, telling them not to be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me, verse 1. Now, we're asked to believe people all the time, aren't we? We're asked to trust people. Trust what they say, to accept that they have our best interests at heart. And it's hard sometimes, because sometimes our leaders don't do what they say. Even those close to us can let us down. I remember when I was young, young teenager, my parents told me that we were going to Disneyland. And I was very excited. I saw the itinerary. It never happened. I was disappointed. I still remember this to this day. It was like 40 years ago. People let us down, even those closest to us. The disciples of Jesus, they had good reason to trust him, good reason to believe him. I mean, he'd turned 100 liters of water into the best wine. He'd raised the dead. He'd healed people of all kinds of sicknesses. He'd fed thousands with a small packed lunch. They saw him walking on water. So when Jesus does these things, and then he says, I'm going to prepare a place and come back to take you there, you can pretty much trust he's going to do it. He's worth believing, and what a wonderful image it is of heaven. A place with lots of rooms, plenty of space for all the family. It reminds me of my grandparents' place up north. Except in this house, we can stay forever. We can stay forever in peace and security. The prophets who came before Jesus promised there would be a place where there'd be no more suffering, no more war, no more death. Instead, there'd be feasting, there'd be joy forever. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't you want to go there? Especially what's been happening after what's been happening in our world recently, in the Ukraine, the Gaza Strip, even in our own city where it's not even safe to go shopping or to go to church. It would be a great place to be. How do we get to this place that Jesus promises, this house in heaven? Which way do we go to get there? One of my biggest fears is getting lost, not knowing where I am or where I'm going. When we first arrived, my family and I, to live in Cambodia, I had to go to the post office. I got lost, like seriously lost. I had no idea where I was. Praise the Lord for Google Maps. I couldn't speak the language yet. I had no idea where I was going. And that feeling of just being lost is just, oh, how distressing would it be, though, knowing there is a great place to be, a place of eternal peace and security, but not knowing how to get there. Wandering through life feeling lost. I couldn't think of anything worse. Jesus tells his disciples, verse 4, they do know the way. Now the problem is the disciples, well, they don't know where Jesus is going, so they don't know the way. These guys who are with Jesus don't know the way, then how can we? How can we know? Even though I fear being lost, one of the ironies is I'm terrible at asking for directions. I don't understand what it is about me. I hate being lost, but I'm terrible at asking for directions. I'd probably wander around lost, aimlessly, rather than looking for directions. I don't understand it. But I'm so thankful for this guy, Thomas. Thomas confesses that the disciples don't know where Jesus is going, and so they don't know the way. He's basically asking for directions. Praise the Lord for Thomas. And look at what Jesus says. These words, significant, powerful, profound words. Jesus says, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way to the Father's house. I am the way to a true life in heaven with God. People all over the world are looking for the way to get to heaven. They're searching for that special place or looking for that special act they can do to get into eternal paradise. But notice Jesus doesn't say where you need to be. It's over here. He doesn't tell you what you need to do to make it into heaven. He doesn't say, I can show you the way. He simply says, I am the way. I am the way. In other words, you can't get to heaven by being anywhere special or doing anything in particular. The only way to true life in heaven is Jesus himself. Notice he's not a way. He's the way, the only way, the exclusive way. And just in case the disciples missed the important point, he puts it in the negative. He says, no one comes to the Father except through me. You can't get to the Father's house, this wonderful place with many rooms, apart from me. When I was studying at university, my friends and I used to go down to the art gallery from time to time. We went down there one time, and there was an artist, can't remember his name, he'd set up in one of the gallery spaces a maze, a full-size maze. I can see some faces sort of, get this, the maze was completely black, darkened. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face, and you had to find your way out of the maze. Terrifying, isn't it? Here I am, someone who doesn't like being lost, being stuck in a maze that's dark and I can't find my way out. We're in the dark in this world. We need someone to light the way. And Jesus is saying, I'm the way. Back in John, he says, I'm the light of the world as well. I'm the light that will light that darkened maze so you can find your way out. How can Jesus be the only way to that true place of eternal life with God? Simple answer is because he is God. Jesus basically says that, verse 7. He says, if you know me, you know my Father as well. The disciples have met Jesus. They've seen him. They've heard him speak. They've come to know him, as you do when you talk to a friend. And so from now on, Jesus says, you have seen and know my Father. It's not unusual, is it, for a son to look like his father? My mother is an avid photographer. She takes photos of everything. It's great. You get to see yourself in all kinds of situations. I was over at Mum's place a while back. She has had a box of, she has all these photo albums lined up and boxes full of ones that she couldn't fit in the photo albums. Anyway, I was looking through this box of photos and I pulled out this lovely black and white photo, looked at me wearing a tuxedo, and I thought, wow, gee, I look good in that. And I went up to my mum and I said, Mum, I don't remember when this was taken of me. When was this taken? And she looked at me and she said, son, that's not you, that's your father. Wow. It's not unusual for a son to look like his father. And it's not unusual for a son to even sound like their father. A while back, when I was a teenager and got a deep voice, I just used to answer the phone by saying, hello. I answered the phone saying hello, and there was a guy on the phone who was looking for my father. This is the home phone, when we had a home phone. You remember that? Someone called for my father, and I said, hello, and this guy just went off. He said, Peter, listen to me, this deal. And I'm saying, whoa, hang on a second. I had to rudely interrupt him. I'll just go and get my father for you. From that point on, and to this very day, I answer the phone, hello, Cameron Blair speaking, because I don't want people thinking it's my father. Thing is, you can't say, now that you've met me, now that you've heard me speak, now that you know a little bit about me, that I have 7 kids and that I kind of go for the wanderers, you can't say that you've seen and known my father, can you? I mean, you know my father's Peter, I just told you. You don't know my father at all, do you? I might look like him, I might sound like him, but you don't know him. Because we're 2 separate human beings, living 2 separate lives. My father is living 7 hours north in the Northern Tablelands. Jesus is not saying here he looks and sounds like God. He's saying when you see him, when you see God, when you know him, you know God. Jesus and the Father are not 2 separate beings living 2 separate lives. They are one united divine being living life together. So when you meet Jesus, you know God. When you meet Jesus, you know God. Now, by know Jesus, Jesus doesn't mean knowing facts about God. If I Googled, got out my phone and Googled King Charles III of England, I could find out a lot of stuff about King Charles, where he was born, where he went to school, who his children are, but I can't say I know him personally. I've never met him. I've never spoken to him. I've never spent time with him, got to know him and what he's like. The disciples who meet and saw and got to know Jesus were at the same time meeting and getting to know God, the Father, because Jesus is God in the flesh. Now, if you're finding this hard to understand or believe, you're in really good company. The disciples didn't understand or even believe this at first either. Now look at verse 8. You see this when Philip asks Jesus in verse 8. He says, show us the Father and that'll be enough for us. He's basically asking Jesus to give them some proof of God the Father. Give us some proof, then we'll be satisfied, then we'll believe. When my grandfather, who was an atheist, heard that I'd become a Christian, he asked me the similar question. He said, show me God, and I'll believe. Well, according to the words of Jesus here in John, all I needed to do was introduce him to Jesus. Here he is. Jesus says to Philip, when you know him, you know God, verses 9 and 10. When you see him, you see God. When you hear the words that he speaks, you hear God speak. Because God the Father is living in Jesus. And Jesus in him, they are one. This is a big claim to make, isn't it? An extraordinary claim. Hard to understand, hard to believe. Jesus is either lying, or he's totally mad, or he's telling the truth. How do we know he's telling the truth? How can we believe that when we meet Jesus, we know God? Jesus himself says here that if you don't believe what he said, if you don't believe this claim that he's making about himself, look at the miracles he does as evidence of the truth of him being one with the Father. What miracles did Jesus do? Well, I mentioned them earlier. Turning water into wine, healing the sick, feeding the thousands, walking on water, raising the dead. These give the disciples good reason to trust him. But miracles are more than that. They're like road signs that point to a location, a particular location. The miracles Jesus does are signs that point to his identity as a person. His identity is more than just a prophet, as God come to save people. The Old Testament Torah promised one day God would come and save his people and do great miracles of healing to announce his arrival. And so, for example, in the Gospels in Luke 7, when Jesus raises the only son of a widow at the gates of the town of Nain, what did the people glorify God by saying? They say, a great prophet has appeared amongst us, and God has come to help his people. People see what Jesus does, and they go, this must be God come to save us. And if this is not enough, there are other miracles. The most important miracle to help us believe that Jesus is God come to help his people. The disciples witnessed Jesus himself die on the cross and rise to life 3 days later. They saw him ascend to the Father's house, that place he told his disciples he would go to and come back to take them there. Jesus, the Son of God, has come to earth as a man to introduce us to the Father God so we could know God and live in his house. Friends, only those who know God, though, will be allowed into his house. Only those who are his children, only those who are members of his family, will be allowed into this place of eternal peace and security. He's not going to let any strange person who's not bothered to get to know him in, is he? It's his house for his children. And we can only know God through meeting Jesus. So have you met him? Do you know him? Maybe you're avoiding it because you think Jesus wouldn't want to get to know you. He wouldn't want to take you into his Father's house because, well, I've done some shameful things. I've said some awful things. God wouldn't want to know me. Twice Jesus tells his disciples in the chapter before and the chapter after that we read this morning that they are clean. They are clean because of the words he has spoken to them. The disciples have been cleansed of all their guilt and shame by Jesus and invited to live with him forever because they've believed the words Jesus spoke to them. And do you know what, friends? It's the same for you and I. All we have to do is believe the words he speaks to us. And we too will be cleansed of all of our sin, our guilt, and our shame and welcomed into the Father's house. Isn't that beautiful? It's so simple and so beautiful. But how is this possible? How are we cleansed and welcomed simply by believing the words of Jesus? Well, it tells us it's not possible through anything we've done. It's only possible through what Jesus has done and who he is. In his word that he speaks to us, we learn that he is God come to save us, that he is the one who laid down his life on the cross to cleanse us of all of our guilt and our shame, and he rose to life 3 days later. He's conquered death so that we could have the hope of living forever with him. These are the words we need to hold on to and believe because they are the truth and they give life and they cleanse us and make us right and help us to know who God is truly. It's what the prophet Ezekiel, we read earlier, looked forward to, a time when God would come to save his people and to cleanse them of all their sins and dwell with them. And that time has come in Jesus. Here he is. Here is God come to save his people, to cleanse them of their sin, and to invite them in to come and dwell with him forever. He is the only way to do that. The only one through whom we can truly know God. He's the only one who can cleanse us of all our sin. He is like the laundry door at my grandparents' place. You have to go through it to enter the house to be clean. So do you believe in him? Have you accepted an invitation to live in his Father's house forever? Your Father's house. If you believe in him, you become a child of God and are welcomed into the Father's house. It's great news. If you haven't accepted this invitation and you'd like to, please come and talk to me. Come and talk to Joel or anybody you've seen up the front here. Do it today. I know many of you have come to know Jesus. You've met him and you've come to know God. Praise the Lord. That is the case for you. Keep trusting in him, holding on to him. There are so many things, aren't there, distracting us, drawing us away from trusting wholly in him. Natural tendency, our default setting is to keep trying to do stuff to be pleasing to God. But here Jesus is saying, I'm the only way. You must come through me. There's nothing you can do to be cleansed. Hold on to Jesus. Continue to believe in him. Don't be troubled and distressed. Yes, there is terrible things happening in this world, but there is a place for you, secure and safe, where you are loved and accepted, that you are going to keep holding on, believing in the Lord Jesus. I'm going to pray. Let's pray with me. Dear Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus, that he came to save. He came to introduce us to you, the Father. Thank you for the great promise that he has given us, that there is a place in heaven prepared for those who've come to know you through your Son. Father, we ask that we would indeed know you, trust you, believe in you, believe what you have done and what you have said. Pray for those, Father, here this morning who perhaps have met Jesus for the first time or getting to know him. Pray that you would help them to get to know Jesus and to know you and to know this great hope that we have in Jesus. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.